Well, we begin Christmas in July because we're starting today in the book of Ruth. And we're going to follow the thread. I hope that you will see the thread if we preach it rightly. We're going to follow the thread that it doesn't start in Ruth, but we see in Ruth that carries through Ruth into Samuel and ultimately the cross. And so that's what we're going to start here this week. So welcome to Christmas in July. As you're turning to the book of Ruth, by the way, if you're not sure where it is, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. You're looking at that'd be the eighth book of the Bible. You can find it there. It's a short little book, but there's lots for us to consider there. As you're turning there, I was thinking about the loyal love that we see here from Ruth, and I was thinking of that. Where do we see loyal love in our world? We see it in lots of places, and one of the stories that came to my mind was regarding Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth's power. Anyone here ever watch Babe Ruth in his day? No, not like in his day. No, I didn't think so. But he had power in his bat. 714 home runs stood as the record until Hank Aaron came along a number of years later. He was a hero of sports fans across America. But as with any athlete, age takes its toll, and he began to become a lesser player as he got older. And so finally, the New York Yankees traded him to the Atlanta Braves. And in one of his last games, they were playing the Cincinnati Reds, and he just didn't have it anymore. In one inning, when he was at the bat, he struck out, and then on the defensive side of the ball, he made five different errors, which led to multiple runs scoring. This was a home game for the Atlanta Braves. And as he was coming off the field, apparently there were boos and catcalls. People were actually shaking their fist at him as he was coming off. He was a shell of his former self. But there was one little boy, apparently, who leapt over the fence and came running to Babe Ruth. Tears apparently streaming down his face. And he clasped his arms around Babe Ruth's legs. This was his hero. And no matter what was going on, he was loyal to his hero. Apparently, Babe Ruth picked him up in his arms and gave him a hug, set him down and patted his head and grabbed his hand, and the two of them walked off hand in hand off the field. That's loyalty this boy had. No matter what was going on, this was his hero. Well, in a far greater way, we're going to see the loyal love of Ruth here, but far greater than Ruth's loyal love, we're going to see the loyal love of God. And so, take your Bibles. I want to read to you the first 18 verses of Ruth chapter 1, and then we'll actually have to unpack a little bit of the context, and then we'll get into the text itself. So here's what we read. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife, Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died. She was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years. And both Mahlon and Chilion died. That the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." And she kissed them. And they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, Even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters. For it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voices and wept. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. Where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. That's the reading of the word of the Lord this morning. Before we unpack these verses, as we start a new book of the Bible, it's important for us to do a little bit of background contextual work. I'm going to lay my cards on the table. When I look at the Old Testament, I operate with what's called a redemptive historical hermeneutic. That's a really big fancy term, isn't it? So hermeneutic is the lens through which you view the Bible. And when I come to the Old Testament, I come to it believing in my heart, based on how I read it, that the Old Testament is pointing forward to a coming Redeemer. And so as I look at the Bible, I believe there to be continuous signs pointing us to a Redeemer that is coming. And so that's how I understand the Old Testament. And here in Ruth, we're going to see that. I hope we're going to see that. If we don't see redemption as the key theme in the book of Ruth, either you've read it wrong or I've preached it wrong. But we should see that in this book as we walk through it, by the time we're done walking through it. Ruth is the only Old Testament book named after a non-Jewish person. It is one of only two books in the whole Bible named after women, Esther being the other. You want your little interesting side note? 11 years ago today, we started the book of Esther. Interestingly, must be summer series going through these small Old Testament books, but this is a narrative, right? It's a story. And so when we discuss a story or a narrative, it's good for us to understand who the main characters are. The main characters are ultimately three. There is Ruth. Ruth, of course, is a Moabite woman who's the widowed daughter-in-law of Naomi. Then you have, of course, Naomi. Naomi is a Jewish woman from Bethlehem whose husbands and sons die. And then you have Boaz. We're not going to see Boaz this morning, but we'll see him in the weeks ahead. Boaz is a relative of Elimelech. Elimelech is Naomi's husband. Relative of Elimelech, a man who acts with integrity towards his kin. He is a direct descendant of Jesus from the line of Judah. That is going to be a very important thing as we move forward. So those are the three main characters in this book. The time period, we see in verse 1 what the time period is. When the judges ruled. There's a famine in the land. So it was written at the time when the judges ruled, likely somewhere in the 1030 to 1010 BC range. Over 1,000 years before Christ came is when this was happening. That tells you something. As we get through this and we see the Redeemer that's being pointed to, that's over 1,000 years before Christ. Incredible. Who is the author of the book? We're never told who authors the book, actually. We're left with speculation. Most commentators, not all, but most will say Samuel is what their best guess is that wrote this. And it could be, if it was Samuel, it would have been at the very tail end of his life. And we know that because there's a genealogy given at the very end of this book, and David is listed in the genealogy as a man of prominence. By the time David became prominent, Samuel was very aged. So if it is Samuel, he would have been a very old man when he wrote this book. We're not told, though, who it is. Ruth, we read, though, is a Moabite woman. We read that over and over. She's from Moab. Moabite. What does that mean? Who are the Moabites to the Jews? Well, they did not have the best relationship. There's a history there. They were viewed poorly by the Jews because of where they came from. Where did they come from? Well, take your Bible. Go with me to Genesis chapter 19. We'll see who the Moabites are. In Genesis 19, we have a story about Lot. Now, if you remember who Lot is the nephew of Abraham. Okay, so this is what we read, and it's, I'm going to tell you, we have children in the room, the Bible is not PG. And this story is an R-rated story. But it's fact. Starting in verse 34 of Genesis 19. The next day, the firstborn said to the younger, "Behold, I lay last night with my father. Let us make him drink wine tonight also. Then you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve offspring from our father." So they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and did not know, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot became pregnant by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. This is the history of the Moabites. Sketchy, to say the least. It started out of wickedness. And this is Abraham's nephew. And so the Jews viewed the Moabites very poorly. They were not seen in a positive light at all by the Jews. And this is where they had to travel. Moab. Now, who is central to the story? Well, obviously, we know ultimately the Lord is central to the story. We know that. But as we look at the actual narrative, who in the narrative is central to the story? Well, we would often think that Ruth is the central character. I'm going to contend with you that it's not. That's Naomi. While Ruth is the one through whom the story kind of flows, we follow Ruth's story. But Naomi, I'm going to contend, is the main character in the story, believe it or not. Because the book starts with Naomi and it ends with Naomi. Look at the first five verses. You have this, the explanation of Elimelech and his wife Naomi and their sons. They're traveling because there's famine in the land. And pick it up in verse 4. After Elimelech dies, the sons took Moabite wives. The name of one is Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and then both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. So who's at view here? The woman. Who's the woman being talked about? Naomi. Now you come to chapter 4, at the end of the book. I'll just take you there for a moment. After all that ends up happening, Boaz, we're going to see him. This is a spoiler alert. Boaz and Ruth get together. So in case you didn't know, that's what's going to happen at the end. And look at what we read as the right before the genealogy at the end. Verse 16 of chapter 4. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name,